everyone. Welcome to episode 6 of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three young boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our adventures at livelylittlecampers.com, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
In this week's episode, we are sharing 6 of our epic camping fails and the lessons that we learned.
Our campground review this week is of the Philadelphia Westchester KOA, where we just spent a gorgeous weekend kayaking, pumpkin painting, and trick-or-treating.
All of this and so much more, including our very first big podcast giveaway on episode 6 of RV Family Travel Atlas.
For this week's featured topic, we are talking about 6 epic camping fails and the lessons we learned. Now, we've spent a lot of time writing and talking about all of the exciting and romantic and fun parts about family travel. And we do. We have a blast. But things sometimes go wrong when we travel. And I think it's important to have reality checks every now and then and to talk about those things that go wrong when we travel. Would you agree?
Well, yeah, but I think you have to keep it in perspective. Like, traveling isn't awesome with kids all the time, and being at home isn't awesome with kids all the time. Like, everybody willingly acknowledges that when you're at home and you have your kids at the house, like, throughout the course of a day, you know, think about the way people think about rainy days, like, you're trapped in the house. Throughout the course of the day, you know there's gonna be things that are stressful about being in the house with your kids.
Sure. And like, things can be stressful on a trip too at times.
Kids are going to get into fights. Messes are going to be made. Walls are going to be drawn on.
And things are going to break.
Things are going to break. In our house, a lot of things are going to break. Things are going to get destroyed. Like, so I know there's a perception sometimes that travel with kids is stressful. But when I think about our time on the road, I think, okay, well, there's been a lot of like stressful situations. But the thing is, we have those at home also.
Yeah, and I think that always sort of the joy and the romance of travel always does triumph at the end of the day, really. We always come home very excited about the trips that we've just had.
Well, that's the thing, is that when you're on the road, at the end of the day, you can paint that experience like with this really romantic brush. Like, you can think,
because you made it back alive.
Well, no, and you were on top of a mountain, or you were out on a river, or you were doing all of these different things. And so all of a sudden, the fight, you know, that the kids had, or the wrestling match in the camp store or whatever, like, that was difficult or embarrassing or challenging or whatever.
Are you suggesting our kids occasionally embarrass
No,
us?
They don't. And We are not gonna trot them out for laughter on this episode. But, you know, those things that happen at home,
they're
happen
actually
on the road.
Not to blame for all 6 of these epic camping fails. Just a few.
Yeah.
So let's start with number 1. Again, we're going from bad to worst on this list. We're going to work our way up to the most epic of epic camping fails. So epic camping fail number 1 happened in Cape May last year. And this one did end up being an awesome weekend. But we got off to a rough start because Stephanie forgot.
Wait,
what?
I can't believe you said Stephanie forgot, like you're taunting me. I didn't forget anything. This was one of those weekend trips where you were responsible, right? Like, everything was... No, wait,
I am never responsible for packing your clothes.
Oh, no, no. This was one of the trips where I was working till the time, like, I drove up and we were supposed to leave right away. So I had packed everything the night before and, like, laid out everything to be packed up into the RV the next day, which you did. Well, somehow my bag didn't get packed up.
With all of your clothes, except for the outfit you were wearing.
To work. So it was my work clothes.
Yes, you had your work
clothes. So I had my work clothes on because I had gotten home from work. We had jumped in the car and taken off. So, no, you know, I'm not saying, oh, it's your fault.
No, I think you are.
No, I bring that up for a very good reason. And I never told you about this before. But in that moment, we got to Cape May and we realized that I did not have any clothes.
At all, except the ones you were wearing.
Except my work clothes, like none.
And we all wanted to go ahead for the pool.
Right, everybody was getting dressed and I was like, oh, I'm going to get into my bathing suit and I'm looking for my bag. Honey, is it in the truck? Where is it? Right, and things are like getting a little worse and a little worse. Like, wait, is it here or there? And it was nowhere. Now, I had a moment where I actually thought, What if we were on The Amazing Race?
You didn't want to have the big blowout fight with
right,
me?
Right, right, right. Like, so, you know, like you watch The Amazing Race.
That's really sweet, honey.
Yeah, no. I watch The Amazing Race, and I think, like, would we be the couple that's fighting about
you
those?
You have suggested that we would we be would, the couple right? that was fighting.
No, I think that we would. But then a really big part of me wants to not be the couple that fights when you get lost or when you, like, you know, get
so
into an accident.
We quickly switched
ticket.
Into problem-solving mode.
Right. So I was like, okay, we don't have my clothes, and I'm not going to fight about whose fault it is. Or
so it was off
fingers.
To Walmart or off to Target?
I got in the car. You took the boys to the pool.
I took all three of them to the pool.
We didn't have a fight about it.
It was
amazing.
Which
I think is remarkable.
You occasionally, you typically have a great attitude when things go wrong. I'm going to give you credit for that. You usually handle these types of problems pretty well.
But I think that's what traveling does. Like, I think that in a way it challenges both of us to try to solve problems.
Yeah, and on the road. And on the short weekend trips, you don't have much time, so you need to solve problems quickly. I also happen to think that we run into a lot more of these types of forgetting type problems on the short weekend trips because we're usually so rushed getting out
the
door.
Yeah, we're trying to, but yeah, I think that we're trying to do things like in an easygoing fashion
right.
as much as possible.
So anyway, you headed to Walmart and you got pretty hot new outfits there, didn't you?
There was a strip center with like a Walmart and a Ross, and like it was like a couple of different.
You went to a few different stores, did you?
I hopped.
Okay.
And I got some things. And it's really funny because I actually have a couple of things that I got that weekend. I have three items.
Wait a second. I just remembered the camouflage sweatpants you bought. Yeah. They are like the all-time cheesiest pair of camouflage sweatpants because like the camo just doesn't work on them. Like if you were in the woods in like Vietnam, like you could be seen from a mile away in these Walmart camo sweats.
So there were some fails because I was like, you know, you're like just trying to find things and you're stressed out. And I was just like grabbing random things, right? So there were some things that I bought that were completely ridiculous. And now I'm stuck with them because I kind of feel bad
about them. The camo sweats.
And I do still have them. And you make fun every time I put them on. But then I have like three items of clothing that actually went into my everyday, like my regular rotation.
Were you subconsciously looking for a shopping trip?
I wasn't. That's not true at all. But every single time I put these clothing items on, I kind of remember that. It's really funny because I have about three things that I put on fairly regularly and I think of that time. And it kind of like, it's actually ended up being a good memory. Like I put on
weekend.
I have this little sundress and it was a great weekend. And I think, oh, I got this at the Ross when I had to go and had to purchase a wardrobe for the weekend. And you know what? Here's the thing. It was okay.
Well, disaster averted. You went out and got the shopping done quickly. You were back by 4 o'clock on Friday.
And
we had an awesome weekend. So what's the lesson learned? Just to run through the checklist?
Yeah. And we really have gotten better at that.
I think on the long trips, we always nail
we
the checklist.
We're
it's
so
on the short trips that we rush out the door.
Right. And I think that the lesson learned is that solve the problem
quickly.
Don't dwell on the problem. Like,
right.
I really do.
Not
I don't think
time.
It's like, go over the checklist. I just think, you know what? What are we going to do about this and move on?
Good. And it's going to happen. I mean, I often joke when we're leaving, like, well, what did we forget this time? Though it usually just is on the weekends. So let's move on to epic camping fail number two. I'm calling this one Walmart Sleepless Nights. Mm. Now, this happened to us twice, where we were going to the Cape Hatteras KOA, which is really one of our favorite spots that we go to just about every year. And both times I pushed I'm going to take responsibility for this. I pushed to stop roughly halfway or about 60% into the trip in a Walmart parking lot in Virginia. And the first time it went really pretty badly, did it not?
Yeah, you read all this stuff about boondocking.
I was
Walmart.
Attracted to the free night of camping in the
You're
Walmart
like,
parking lot.
Oh,
I wanted to try it. I did.
We're only going to be there for however many hours. Why pull into a campground and pay $40 when you could just pull into the parking lot, right? And it sounds really good, and I know a lot of people love doing this. But I think that
it didn't work for us.
It didn't.
And why not? Because of the heat.
not just the heat, the noise and the lights. Yes. So they keep the whole parking lot like really lit up. And then the big trucks, the semis, they park along the back and they keep their engines running all night. So we have a trailer, so we don't have an engine running. And it's not noise, you know, there's not like that white noise factor. So we heard that rumbling engine and the bright lights.
And the heat.
And then the heat.
And we don't have a generator in our travel trailer. And most people don't have onboard generators in travel trailers. Mm-hmm. So if we did have a motorhome with a generator, we could have been running our own air conditioning all night, which also would have dulled out
the noise. Right, would have been drowned out, and it probably would have been fine. But we did it the one time, and it was a relatively hot,
sleepless night. It was an awful sleepless night.
Right.
We were taking little trips into the Walmart, and I, to cool off.
Do it again.
Because I probably pushed for it again. Because, I mean, look, the trip to the Cape Hatteras KOA for us is 10 to 11 hours with the boys. That's a long trip for them.
And we like to, here's the thing. We really love to get there earlier that first day. Like, if you leave in the morning, it's an all-day trip. And you get there at night and you don't have it. But if you leave the night before and you break it up, you can get there. Like, we got there at like 10, 11 o'clock the next morning.
And you have a full day in Cape Hatteras.
So you feel like you buy back a day by doing it that way. But then we did it the second time. And I feel like the second time was worse.
The second time was worse.
Oh, and I know also why the second time was worse.
Why?
Because we had a baby with us.
That guy, that little guy, Wes. Now, also, our camping buddies.
He was a couple months old.
Our camping buddies, Joe and Ashley, met us in the Walmart parking lot and spent the night with us. And it was kind of nice to have somebody next door to us. But when we woke up in the morning, there were cars kind of driving by and kind of stopping and almost like staring at the camper, right? And Joe walked up to me and he said, you know, when people start staring into your camper in the Walmart parking lot, it's time to leave.
And we did. We hitched up and left.
Yeah, like, I think, look, the lesson learned here is that if you have a motorhome, this could work out really well, right?
Yeah. And my lesson learned, too, is when something doesn't work the first time, you know, call it quits. Like, we don't need to, until situation is different. Like, until.
So, are we going to drive straight through to Cape Hatteras next summer?
Well, I always advocate driving straight through.
You do.
So, you know that. I'm always like, just suck it up and go. I like that. But.
So, we'll wait for a motorhome until we do the Walmart parking lot.
Yeah, not until then again.
So, we'll just have to get a motorhome.
Yeah.
All right, let's move to epic camping fail number 3. I'm calling this one the day I brought the roof down and couldn't get it back up. So back in the pop-up camper days, on our first long trip to Maine, we were packing up at Acadia National Park at the Bar Harbor KOA, and I brought the roof down on the pop-up camper, I latched it up, and then about 5 minutes later, realized that I forgot something and I needed something inside the pop-up camper. And the kids were being a bit antsy, and I was rushing. So I went over to the automatic roof raising button, whatever you want to call it, and I raised the roof while all the latches were latched. This caused a short and broke the entire automatic roof system on the camper. This became quite a problem, didn't it?
Oh, my gosh. It was... We had been on the road for...
14 days.
Yeah, a long time. 13 days. And this was, we weren't quite going home. We had another stop.
Yes.
But this was our first long trip with the boys. So, you know, we had an amazing trip. And really, honestly, this trip was the trip that, like, made us go,
set the standard for us.
Oh, this is what travel is.
Made us want the travel trailer.
It did. I mean, this was just an amazing trip. And it really was that sort of romantic ideal for us of what it meant to travel.
The Great American Road Trip in the summer.
So it's not like this ruined it, but this was testing us because it was at the end of all this time with 2-year-olds on the road, and we were going and we were staying
at another campground, right? Yeah, Old Orchard Beach.
Mm-hmm. And because on these pop-ups that have the automated system, if the automated system breaks down, it's not like you can just jack it up normally.
You can raise the roof manually, but it takes 45 minutes.
Like, it doesn't even move.
In the older pop-up campers, you could raise them up sometimes in 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah, you would have to use the crank.
This is an emergency backup crank, and it's not meant to work in the same way.
And you looked pretty goofy sitting there with that crank, because it looked like the roof wasn't even moving.
In Old Orchard Beach, you went off to the pool, and I literally sat there for 45 minutes to an hour raising the roof.
We got the kids into their bathing suits, went. We had a whole swim at the pool, a whole play at the playground. And when we came back, it might have been almost up. Like, it wasn't even, it just took forever. And it was ridiculous. And that was stressful, because that felt like, oh, what have we gotten ourselves into? It was one of those moments where you're like, this is crazy, because you could make such a small mistake.
Yeah, just a quick little mistake. I pressed that button for 5 seconds mm-hmm. and shorted out the entire system.
Right.
So, the lesson learned for me was not to rush when you're packing up and you're getting the camper ready to leave, or when you're getting the camper ready to go. Now, that's a hard lesson to learn when you have little kids with you, because you always feel this intensity to get everyone packed up and to get out of there.
And I had a friend who was a very experienced RVer with her husband, and they have quite a few kids. And she had always said to me, oh, no, we both do setup and we both do breakdown.
Is this a shout out to Maura from Ohio?
Yeah. This is Maura. She always said her and her husband both do the setup and both do the breakdown. And I thought, wow, that's how you should do it, right? Like, almost like you've got to get yourself together and both be working and just sort of manage the kids. And that worked for them, and they were fine with that.
Not for us.
But not for us. And so I kind of realized at that moment, no, the right way for us to do it really is for one of us to bring the kids away.
Which is usually you.
I do. I usually bring the kids to the playground now, or bring the kids to the pool. We go for a bike ride.
They need to stretch their legs. They need to get away from the camper.
And I let you set up in absolute peace now. Always.
And
every time.
And frankly, I appreciate that and enjoy it. I put the music on. Mm-hmm. I get set up. And it's actually part of the fun of the trip for me.
And vice versa. Usually when we're getting ready to go, I actually do most of the camper
work. I'll take the boys out
and
for
you
a drive or
right,
something.
Right, you take the boys out. And it's just kind of like we both flip back and forth that way with various tasks. And we find that it really does allow us to focus and
not
do
break
it right.
Things like the roof.
Yeah. It just brings a sort of calm to the whole situation. And you can focus on what you're doing and do it right instead of sort of that distraction.
The kid crazy.
And we would really recommend that. Like, I think, I know if you can do it right with the kids around, like,
more power to you.
They can. Maura and Dave can. Then that's great.
But for us, get the kids out of there. That's really mm-hmm. worked better. And you know what? If you break something on your travel trailer or your pop-up camper, particularly when you're in the middle of a trip, you could have a big problem on your hands.
Yeah.
So we recommend taking the kids off to the playground. All right. Epic camping fail number 4. This was from this past summer, and I'm going to call this the Great Cape Cod Flood. Now, if I'm remembering correctly,
it's kind of remarkable this is the first time it happened.
It's kind of remarkable that it didn't destroy the whole camper.
Okay.
Now, if I'm remembering, let me set the scene, and then you tell me if I'm remembering correctly. So I believe we had all the kids packed up in the truck. We were ready to go out for the day. And I thought, well, let me go around to the back and flush out the black tank before we leave. Now, I walked around to the back of the trailer, and there was water coming out all over the place in the back of the trailer. And I was like, what, you know, what the H-E double hockey sticks is this? Ran back inside the trailer, and the bathroom sink had been left on with the plug in and was flooding, major flooding all over the floor. It filled the floor of the camper up and was pouring out the sides of the camper.
And we know who was responsible.
We do, and it wasn't Jeremy.
No,
and it wasn't Stephanie.
No,
and it wasn't Theo.
No, don't narrow it down. I don't.
Well, that leaves Wes and Max.
Well, don't. Okay, so the child that was responsible for the flood, Fess, was like, oh, I couldn't, and it was like I couldn't
there
get
was
it
a story.
Off. There was a story.
There's always a story.
Here's the thing about the age that they're at. They're 5. They're just responsible enough
to get into a lot of trouble.
Certain things alone now. And you kind of let that go.
Well, Matt, I'm sorry.
You forget.
This child was washing his hands, which I'm glad he was washing his hands.
All by himself.
Good boy.
Right. He had gone in to use the restroom and he washed his hands. Like, that's that age that they're at where they can do that by themselves. You don't go into the camper when they go, oh, I'm going to run in to use the bathroom. And so you have these moments where you think you're okay. And then what happened was Max said, oh, and I just gave, you know, he said, oh, I couldn't get the stopper out.
So I just walked out of the camper.
But he walked out and he was probably fully intentioning on...
Intentioning?
I know, I just made up a word.
You went to UPenn, dear.
He was intending...
4-0 at UPenn. Flush it right
down
the toilet.
He was intending on telling us, I'm sure, and then like
I'm not so sure he was. No. But either way.
Something distracted
him. Now look, get rid of the plugs in the sinks, parents, right?
Right.
I mean, is there any reason those plugs are in there?
Sure.
That was, in a sense, it's our bad.
That should have been up in the cabinet. Absolutely. Like, you know, the plug like should just be up in a cabinet so we can put it in.
Easy
to
solve.
But it's not just that. I think that situation just made me aware that, like, there needs to be, with kids around, you need to do those last minute
checks. Yes, a walk through the camper.
All the time.
Yeah.
And after that episode, actually, I've become a little bit manic about that. Like, right before we leave ever for the day, or I kind of do a quick pop into the camper.
Well, if we had actually driven away, if I had not thought to flush the black tank... If we had driven away, that could have gone on for hours. It really probably could have destroyed the entire travel trailer in a way that no warranty would redeem.
Yeah.
So we got lucky.
Oh,
I mean, it flooded the camper, and we had, an hour to 2 hours of work cleaning that up?
Right. It was a while.
It was a while.
We used every single
paper towel. Every
towel.
It was at Atlantic Oaks RV Park, and I'll give them much credit. We went into the camp store, told them we had a bit of a flood, and asked if we could borrow a fan. And the manager at Atlantic Oaks went to her own apartment on the grounds of the campground and brought me her own fan to use and said, bring it back whenever you're done with it.
So, and we did. We ran it in the game. Like,
ran
and
it all day long.
And that was just another instance of, like, I just feel like it's solved the problem. Like, we did. Like,
we had a sense of humor
about
it.
What
Stephanie
are you
snapped
do?
A photo of me on the floor mopping up and stuck it on Instagram, I think.
Okay, yeah, because what else are you going to do? Okay, this happened. So let's fix it and get on with our day. And we did. And we had a beautiful day. It wasn't like the whole day was ruined.
So I think what's developing here is have a good attitude about the camping
fails.
Or,
like, take deep breaths.
Take deep breaths. Have a good attitude. Fix the problem as quickly as you can. And get the stoppers out of the sinks, people.
And just check your camper constantly with kids. Because there's a million things they can do in campers. So it's like, I feel just important. But in your house, you're like around your house all the time. Sometimes in a campground, you're outside a lot. So I think it's important to just do those routine checks. If a kid's been in a camper, like pop your head in, make sure they didn't turn something on or whatever. And just be extra vigilant about those little things with the kids.
Okay. Now talking about extra vigilance, let's move to epic camping fail number 5. I'm calling this the 6,000 pound free fall. Now again, I'm going to take the hit on this one. In terms of whose fault it was. But I'm going to let Stephanie describe what happened because she was the one in the camper when it happened.
Well, we had come back from a trip. I don't even remember what trip it was.
I don't remember either.
But we backed into our driveway the same way that we've done how many times backed into this driveway and parked and unhitched and blah, blah, blah. We've
done
this
there.
So many times.
For 1 second, let me stop you. Now, I had read somewhere that when you store the camper, you should not put down the stability jacks. You should just put down the tongue and leave it like that. Okay, so that's what I did. We basically came out of the camper. I put the tongue down. I unhitched, put the tongue down, and then did not put down the stability jacks. The problem was there was still stuff in the camper.
Well, there always is. And
there
was nothing different about the way our camper was parked than it would be at a campground, except for the fact that the stability jacks aren't down. But stability jacks aren't supposed to keep a camper up, you know, like that's not the job. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with going into your camper when it's in your driveway and it's all unhitched and everything. So anyway, I had the boys, and we'll talk about this a little later. The boys were actually in the camper helping me get their stuff
without the stability jacks down, and the tongue is resting on about 6 pieces of wood that are about a foot off the ground.
Right. And so we were in there and they were packing up their bedding and I was getting stuff and we were about to walk out. Well, one of the boys ran out and went to run into the house. The second they ran out of the camper, it was probably like them on the steps or something.
The camper lurched forward.
Yeah. I was in the camper with one of the boys, and it just, like, went boom.
Boom. Like shook the street because the tongue came off of the wooden blocks, and the front end of the camper dropped about a foot.
Yeah.
And that's kind of scary.
It was.
You screamed.
Well, I screamed because my one son had just run out of the camper. Right. So I didn't know.
That's a pretty serious business
there. What had happened.
And our neighbors ran out and asked if everybody was okay.
Right.
And then I ran out.
Across the street ran out and were like, well, you know, are you okay? Like right away, everybody ran out. And I had just screamed. I think it was Theo's
name. Your heart stopped,
I was like, Theo. And he answered, he was fine. So immediately then I switched into like, okay, what happened?
Right. Everyone was fine. So then we sort of switched into, is the camper okay?
Yeah.
And miraculously it was.
The camper was fine. And honestly, you know, we were like, the stability jacks weren't down. But if the stability jacks had been down, they probably would have just broken. They wouldn't have been able,
I don't think that's what have happened. I don't think the camper would have wiggled forward enough to fall off the blocks. But the lesson learned here is if you're in and out of the camper a lot, the stability jacks need to be down. There's just no way around it. And from now on, basically, when we park the camper, I put the stability jacks down. I don't care about what I've read about leaving them up.
Right.
Because I never understood the reasoning for that anyway.
Just to avoid that shimmy effect. Because our driveway
is a little
perfect. Like, right.
Yeah, so if you're putting the tongue down on blocks of wood, which most everybody does, you need those stability jacks down because the front end of the camper can fall. So that was a dangerous one.
And then we also just became hyper aware of how that wood stacked. Like I think
a little bit more. Yeah, I was a little not so careful with it really. I mean, it might have the tongue might have been all the way forward on the wood. A little sloppy on my part.
Sometimes you do something so many times and it just doesn't seem like a big deal. And now we look at it and we think about it. And in fact, it reminds me, lesson learned, let's like actually give this an example. When we pulled into Moorings, do you remember? The tongue looked a little forward on the wood to me.
It did. It looked like that might happen
and,
again.
And we were looking at it, and I said, you know, we were on a little bit of a slant, and that was a little bit forward on the wood. And I said to Jeremy, like, you know, can we fix this? Because I don't want to be nervous. And we
hitched
took
up
the
again.
Time
yeah.
to hitch up, raise
the camper back
camper
up,
camper back
put
up,
it back on the hitch, and
move it,
start all over again,
and start all over again. Now, in the past, we might have been lazy about that. I might have been like, oh, it looks fine. I don't think it's going anywhere. But we had learned our lesson. We learned just take the time, make sure it's totally stable.
In a sense, you can get so good and so fast at setting up and hitching up that you can become a bit careless. And I just think we have done this so many times that we were not paying close enough attention.
Yeah.
So again, these things happen and then they make you, they kind of refocus the mind on you know, safety first when you're dealing with a 6,000 pound RV.
Yeah. Okay? And you know, it was really good too this weekend. Okay. But this weekend we were at a campground and Max said to me, oh mom, a ball just rolled under the camper, and he knew.
Yes, we
not
have
to go under and get that.
Not to go under that camper,
and that was another thing I realized that we had done right this weekend. I realized my son, who my boys are very impulsive, very active. Like
they probably dart out in the street before they dart under the camper.
But he knew, like, do not go under that camper to get that soccer ball, and he knew to call me to get the broomstick, you know, and get it out from the camper. So I said, we did something right because these boys know not to go under that camper.
Yeah, so I mean, look, RVing is very safe. If you're very safe, if you're very cautious about it, it's a safe hobby to get into, but you need these little reminders sometimes. Now, for epic camping fail number 6, and this was definitely our greatest epic camping fail, it was a double camping fail. We're going to talk about the Great Rhode Island Double Breakdown of 2014. So do you want to set the scene for this?
Well, you know, it sounds, I don't know, it's like to complain about it when we, how many miles have we driven driving a camper?
Oh my gosh, thousands of miles.
And we've never had a flat.
200 days of camping.
Very, very fortunate.
Very fortunate. Everybody has a flat. Everybody has a breakdown. And we really hadn't had ours yet.
Hundreds of nights on the road, in the RV, and we never had one of those moments
on the
side of the road.
We had this one coming, didn't we?
I kind of feel that way a little bit. And the whole time, I kind of felt like I couldn't really act like this was so awful because big deal, we got a flat tire. But that was just
the
first.
And again, you were a trooper on this day. I was frustrated. You were a trooper.
Okay,
you
here's the thing about me, I think. If it's a really big deal, I'm better. Like, when it's bad.
But you get worked up over the small
right.
stuff sometimes, don't you?
Right. So if it's like...
Like if the MacBook isn't working before the podcast.
Right, yeah. It just, the little things drive me crazy. And in big moments, I'm good. Like, right. So when it seems like it's a big deal, like the camper being flooded or I have no clothes or whatever. Like I am...
Your big picture.
I am very able to take a breath and be like, okay, I have no choice but to solve this problem.
All right, so let's tell them about breakdown number one. Yeah.
Well, so... We're driving down Rhode Island, which
we've never
camped in Rhode Island. And I almost felt like it was just like this karmic sort of like Rhode Island was like what you pass through us every time.
And never camp
and like,
here.
You never camp here.
Well,
you
Rhode
don't
Island,
like this.
You don't have enough great campgrounds.
Yeah. So we were driving through Rhode Island, I-95, hugely trafficked area, like
busy
very
time of day.
Industrial.
We were probably going 65.
Right. And boom. Yeah.
Tire blowout. We knew it right away.
We knew it. We were like, get over. I look in the mirrors. We're like, we got over right away.
Crossed three lanes of traffic.
Right away, we got over to the shoulder. Of course, the tire blowout is on the highway side.
Right.
And I'm like, you're not going out there. Like, you're not. In a minute, somebody's texting on their phone and they swerve.
But yet,
and you're
did.
Gone.
I wanted to man up and change the tire.
Yes.
And I had all the equipment that I thought I needed
but
to
I
do
was
so.
Like, we're getting off the road because you cannot do it out there on the highway.
We pulled onto the grass.
We pulled off onto the grass and we were feeling very like empowered.
Well,
like,
I put on my man pants and I headed out there to change the tire.
Yeah.
I got the jack out. I got the 6,000-pound camper up on the jack. Mm-hmm. And then when I went to get the lug nuts off, the tool that I had, which came with the,
camper,
warped and bent in my hands.
Yeah,
it could not budge these lug nuts at all. And I was so frustrated.
It was so sad. It looked like you were like trying to take the lug nuts off with like a toothpick.
A toy.
It's
a tool that came with the camper, so I assumed it would work.
No.
Okay. But anyway, I was kind of proud of myself. I got the camper up on the jack, but I could not get the lug nuts off. So we had to call AAA.
We don't have AAA.
Sorry,
we have
AAA.
Our roadside assistance.
AAA, if you'd like to sponsor the podcast, give us a ring. No offense, AAA.
We do not have AAA. We have
Geico.
We have roadside assistance through our car insurance, right?
Some Geico, by the way.
Oh, now
not that they're sponsoring us either, but we've always loved Geico.
They've been
Warren
yes.
Buffett, are you listening?
All right. So we called them, and again, we were staying very calm. And we
made lunch in the camper.
I made tacos for everyone.
I said we made lunch, and you quickly said I made
lunch.
Well,
I did.
But you did.
I
made
tacos.
Everybody lunch.
We had leftover raisin beans. We
nice
had tacos.
Nice benefit of breaking down with an RV.
The kids were fine. Everybody got cold milk. Like, it was like everything was fine.
We were
and
okay.
I was so calm. And I was like, it's okay. Roadside assistance is coming. And they did.
They said 45 minutes, and they were there in about 20. So we were feeling pretty triumphant, right?
The gentleman came. He was incredibly helpful and nice.
Yes.
He changed the tire quickly.
Yeah, and now lesson learned, too. I don't want to forget this. He suggested that the air pressure was probably low. Now, anybody that's mm-hmm. into RVing, you know that, or you should know, you need to be checking your air pressure every time you leave for a trip. Now, I do religiously check
You're
the air pressure every time we leave for a trip. But this was the end of a 16-day trip, mm-hmm. and I did not check the air pressure when we left the campground.
We
so
realized,
my powerful lesson right. learned here was if you're going on a longer trip, you need to check the air pressure before you leave for the trip mm-hmm. and before you leave for home, which I had never done before. And he said, look, what your other tires look, maybe a little low. This one may have been low, and that's why you had the blowout. And that is a primary reason for blowouts on the highway, is that people don't check your air pressure. So if you're not checking your air pressure before you leave for a trip, you're making a big mistake. You're going to have a blowout at some point.
Yeah. And, your tire pressure gauge ran out of batteries just recently before we left for our last trip. And I have a feeling that in the past you might have been like, oh, it's okay. I just checked it whenever.
Texted
but
a buddy.
You were,
borrowed.
Yeah.
He drove it over. And Bart, yeah, I would not. I
you
will not leave
pull out of the driveway now.
On a trip now without checking the air pressure. And also, the tires can look like they're full, and they can be the pressure can be very low actually. Mm-hmm. So you really need to check them. So anyway, we got back on the road.
Yeah. So the
and we
this,
were feeling good. We
oh,
were like the music was
we,
on.
Wait, we were feeling more
we
than
were
good
feeling
because
really good.
Theo's favorite song this past summer was, you know, the American authors, the best day of
your... The best day of my life.
Right, okay. Because they had sang it at their preschool graduation. So...
Oh, we're playing best day of my life.
So he would say... So he said, Mom, play my favorite song. And we had just, like, changed a flat tire on the side of I-95.
We were on our way to the Mystic KOA for the night.
Oh, we
for
were
the last
an hour
night.
And a half away.
Right, and at the most.
An hour and a half, maybe.
And we thought we were going to get there, we're going to go swimming, we're going to have dinner, we're going to have a campfire.
We just got through our first
Dodged
breakdown.
Dodged a bullet, people.
Flying colors. So what do? I put on the song, The Best Day of Our Life, right? And we're like, and what do I do as a mom? Like, you know, woo,
and that's,
woo.
This is right about when things got really bad.
The song's playing, and I am literally sitting there with my hands pumping in the air, singing this song with my boys.
And then an 18-wheeler pulls up next to us and starts honking and waving his arms in the air at us.
A driver of a semi is next to us.
Waving us over onto the side of the road.
Waving us over, like, wildly.
Wildly.
And I look at Jeremy, I'm like, what's going on?
She looks at me. I look in the rear view, and there is all kinds of smoke coming out.
Billowing
out of the back of the RV.
Yeah, and there we are dancing. So...
Pulled over again in a much worse spot this time.
Yeah.
Right by an exit.
Right after an exit, under an overpass. The driver pulled over in front of us. He was extremely nice.
New Jersey guy.
Which he pointed out.
He said, us Jersey guys got to watch out for each other.
So he waved us over. He pulled over in front of us. He got out of his truck and he came back.
He walked back there with me to the tire.
And
he said, a bearing burned out. And he said, if you had taken one more turn, the tire would have popped off.
Popped off.
So we were, again, in a sense, lucky
we
that this happened.
We couldn't
so
help but
So we had to call Geico back. This is 20 minutes later, people.
Yeah.
And tell them we broke down again. And they had to send the same towing company out to help us.
It was the same company.
And the man that showed up, the owner of this towing company, basically became our guardian angel for the day.
Oh, he had...
He was awesome.
He was like, I have car seats in my car.
He was a father. Yeah, he's like, look, if you need to, you know, if I need to take the kids or drive you guys to lunch or something, he's like, I'm going to get you back on the road. I'm going to take care of you today. He's like, it might take some time, but you'll be back on the road at some point.
Yeah.
And he said, look, I'm not going to fix this on the side of the road. I'm not going to risk my life or have anyone else risk my life. We're going to have to tow your camper to my shop.
His shop was only a couple miles
20
away.
20 minutes away, and luckily an RV parts store was about 20 minutes away.
And these people, this guy, I said to him, look, I wish we lived around your shop because I would send every single person I knew to get their work done there.
Yeah.
He and his guys, his crew.
After hours. It was getting towards after hours.
Their kids. They ordered their dinner to eat there.
Yeah, they all worked
while
overtime.
While they worked on
our And this
RV.
Was about 5 hours. We ended up going to Wendy's.
Yeah, we
ended
Wendy's.
Up driving.
The boys,
we unhitched, obviously, and they brought the truck.
We unhitched.
In.
They towed our camper to their store, to their shop. We went to Wendy's. The boys thought that they had hit the jackpot.
Well, we were in Wendy's for about 2 hours.
Yeah.
There were salads. There were Frosties.
There were Frosties. The boys were completely entertained by the whole thing.
But it was a long, brutal day,
We went
though.
To CVS, and the boys got... Cocoa Puffs for the first time in their life.
Dry Cocoa
and
Puffs.
They actually think that Cocoa Puffs are only sold in Rhode Island.
In that CVS.
In that CVS.
Like, mommy propaganda.
They think if we're ever driving back there.
So this guardian angel got us back on the road. And I'm not going to name the price he charged me. Very reasonable price. I mean,
they were just good people.
He's just a good man.
Yeah.
Did not rip us off. Got us back on the road. Now, the lesson learned here. I had read about a month before that there was a problem with the axles on my brand of camper. And I loosely thought, okay, I'll take care of that at some point in the future. Now, after this happened, I mentioned this to him while he was working on it. He said, you know, you need to go home and follow up on this and pursue this. And I did. I called our RV dealer and I had them make some phone calls. And it did happen that our axles it wasn't a recall because they weren't recalling them, but they were replacing them upon request.
Interesting.
So anyway, the moral of the story is if you hear there's a problem with something on your camper, deal with it quickly. I did end up getting free tires and 2 brand new axles installed because of this. So I should have taken care of it earlier though.
Yes. And the moral of the story from my side of things is that sometimes, you know, I want the camper to be there for when we want to pop into it and just go on vacation. But, And Jeremy is much more finicky about taking care of the camper than I am, like the maintenance aspect. And I appreciate that. It like more is an annoyance to me because I want it to be like just there
and ready.
If you're
picturing me out in the driveway working on the camper, that's not what she's saying.
She's not saying that.
I'm good at bringing it into the dealer for them
He's
to check on it.
He's good at calling other people and telling them to check it.
I'm not super handy and we are busy people.
But so for me, I realized that just like in your home, you have to do maintenance in your home. Like you do not wait for things to break. Like you notice things and you check on things.
I should have fixed it, had it fixed right away.
And you have to treat your RV the same way. Like, and it can't, it just, and if you do it that way, you're better off.
Though ultimately, I don't know if they would have fixed the axles. I mean, part of the reason they fixed them was because of this epic camping fail.
Yeah.
Right? So those are our six epic camping fails. Now, join us at the end of the show when we read some of the letters from our readers who share their epic camping fails. And there's some pretty darn funny ones.
But you know what
list.
I noticed? Everybody has a good sense of humor about it.
It's true. Well, because it's after
later
the fact,
on.
For one thing, right? It's always funny when you're telling the story a year later.
Yeah.
So we hope you enjoyed our six epic camping fails. If you have any of your own, hop onto our Facebook page and leave us a note. We'd love to read about them. For this week's campground review, we want to talk about the Philadelphia Westchester KOA. We just spent an awesome weekend there, and it was the fifth time we visited this campground. So we've been repeat customers of the campground, but this trip was sponsored by Campgrounds of America. Now, we've always gone in May to the Westchester KOA for Mother's Day. So this was the first year that we went in fall, and it was also the first time we've ever gone and done a holiday weekend, a Halloween weekend at a campground. So could you tell us a little bit about what you liked about doing Halloween camping?
Yeah, I mean, I was sure that we would like it because the boys are at that age where they are, you know, incredibly excited about Halloween all month long. Like, all September, it's when's Halloween. And then they got their costumes finally. And it's actually nice that now there's, like, a couple of different opportunities for them to trot out their costumes, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like a trend in the industry now to do these Halloween weekends throughout the month of October.
And we've seen them, but we've never gone to them because usually we do a full weekend somewhere else. And we've never done one.
We've never done a big Halloween weekend at all. So this was kind of exciting. It gives you kind of 2-for-1 value on the Halloween costumes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and how great is that for the kids? Like, there's, you know, summer's over. There's not a beach. There's not a pool. There's not, like, water slides somewhere. But
they were anxious to break out both the blue Power Ranger costume and the Luke Skywalker costume. Yeah. So when they found out we were going to go trick-or-treating at the campground and do a Halloween weekend, they were thrilled.
They were
pumped for this weekend. Mm-hmm. So what other things did we do? I mean, what were the major Halloween-type activities that we did this weekend?
The Friday that we got there, that night, they had the flashlight.
The flashlight hayride, which kind of like kicked off the weekend.
And the tractor was like decorated with lights.
Yeah, they were like, people had glow sticks, and Gary, one of the owners, gave all the kids candy, which was nice. So it really got things off to a fun start.
And then we painted pumpkins.
Yeah, on Saturday there was pumpkin painting, which was really, really fun.
And I like you had to sign up for a certain time, so there weren't that many kids, and they ran it like
good crowd control.
Yeah, and they ran it very structured. Like, they sat the kids down, and they gave the kids directions, and brought the paint
over.
Lori,
Gary's wife, ran the pumpkin painting.
Yeah, and then they kept them to decorate for the Halloween party later, which was really adorable. Like,
yeah, there was a big Halloween
pumpkins,
party that night with a live band.
Oh, yeah.
And there was great pumpkin pie and apple pie and people.
It was cute. To back up, after we went trick-or-treating first.
Right.
So
before the party.
You went through and you trick-or-treated all through the campground, which was great.
It was
for
really
RH
charming.
Kids.
It was awesome.
Adorable.
Yeah, the campground was beautiful. It was a perfect fall night. Everyone had their campers decorated. Mm-hmm. Everyone was in the spirit. And it was really nice because you could just go camper to camper, and the guys.
It's so easy,
boys,
right? Like, think about how much easier it is to go camper to camper than it is to go house to house on a road.
Yeah, I mean, they got
like
a lot of candy in a really short amount of time.
And you could just go up and down the roads, and there's no cars on the roads. Like, it was just like so easy to meander through the campground. And we were actually camping next to a couple of families that had kids our exact age.
Yeah, they made fast friends with those kids,
man. They made fast friends, and then all
the day before, I mean, they were old friends at this point.
Right. On Friday, we met them at the the playground. And then by Saturday, they're best friends. That's how it works. Yeah,
the whole gang
age.
Was trick-or-treating.
So they were all like, oh, we're all going trick-or-treating together. So our boys actually trick-or-treated with buddies like the next day. And yeah. we all meandered through. And, you know, we went with the parents too. And we were all like chatting and everything. So it was a very communal kind of experience.
Yeah, it was almost like every camper had candy to give away. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the campers were like decorated in a really kind of really nice, cute. Sophisticated way. Yeah. And a lot of the cabins were also decorated.
I kind of feel like if we did it again, we'd have to step up our game at the decorations.
I know. We were lame, I guess, on that part. We didn't know how cool this would be.
No.
So in the article we wrote for KOA, I think that we wrote that this could be a new family tradition for us going in the fall because the foliage was beautiful and it was a great time to see the area, the Brandywine Valley, and the kids loved the trick-or-treating.
Yeah, I think that definitely next fall, I think it'll be like a default. Like we'll be like, oh, well, when's a holiday, Halloween weekend? Because it really just was a fun thing for them. We still got to do everything we wanted to do.
Yeah, it was a perfect weekend in that sense. The boys had a blast, and we got to do some of the things we love to do. One of which was doing some kayaking on the Brandywine River, which runs right along the side of the campground.
Yeah.
So you can walk right down a hill there, and there are beautiful tent sites right on the river, and you can launch your kayak or rent a canoe right from the campground.
Very affordably.
This year we brought our own kayak. But over the years, this has become one of our absolute favorite things to do at any campground anywhere is the Brandywine.
Our boys took their first canoe ride there at that campground. And
That's true.
Always take them out when we go. And they also caught their first fish.
Yeah, it's a great spot for family fishing,
right there.
Too.
It's just so easy. It's accessible. It's sweet. It's pretty.
There's farmland on the other side of the river.
There's cows. There's horses. It's so picturesque and beautiful.
Yeah, and the water's often crystal clear. You can see right to the bottom.
Not deep, so you don't feel nervous. It's just like sort of just this really quaint.
It's this very magical escape.
Bucolic.
It's only 20 minutes, half an hour from Philadelphia. Mm-hmm.
Then on top of that, one of the things we love about a weekend getaway is really close.
Yeah, we don't want to do a lot of driving.
No, activities or attractions. And this area in Westchester has that. Like, obviously, really close by is Longwood Gardens.
Yeah, Longwood Gardens, which is really one of the most famous horticultural sites in the United States, is like 10 minutes or less from the campground.
And one of the things I love about it is that I can enjoy it on a different level than my kids can. Like, it has something for everyone. I can really enjoy that horticultural aspect of things where the boys can enjoy those, like, big open spaces to run, the tree houses.
And stone walls to jump off
of. The ducks.
Check our Instagram feed for pictures.
Yeah, and then also the fountain show. And then, of course, the children's garden, which is phenomenal.
The children's garden at Longwood is world-class.
Yeah.
It is a world-class place to take your kids. I think this is 5 years in a row we've gone to the children's garden at Longwood. And the boys have a blast there. And it's beautiful for us, too. I love it, too. Mm-hmm. I am just as excited to go to the children's garden as they are.
Yeah.
And they get wet there, don't they?
They do every time. And every time we say, oh, we've got to bring an extra change of clothes. And I think one time we have.
One time we did. Yeah, the kids are going to get wet there. There are a lot of water fountains. There are definitely a lot of places where they can chase water that's jumping around. And these, what would you call
those
things?
They can paint the walls like with paintbrushes out of a fountain. There's like this misting smoke.
Right.
Fountain thing that they loved.
It's worth mentioning this is all inside, too. So we've never gone on a rainy day, but the children's garden at Longwood would be a perfect rainy day activity.
Yeah, and even a cold day, it's warm inside because it's a conservatory. So it's gorgeous. It's a four-season location. They have it all decorated for Christmas in the winter and everything. It's gorgeous in the spring with their tulips in the summer. And then this was our first time there in the fall to see the fall foliage and landscaping, which was phenomenal. Like the colors.
The colors were magnificent.
Breathtaking.
Yeah, it was really fun taking photos there. Now, this is a perfect combo for a camping weekend at the Philadelphia Westchester KOA. I mean, to go to camp there and then to go to Longwood, a weekend can't get much better than that.
No, and that's what we did for years.
There's another amazing world-class destination that's about 20 minutes from the campground at the most.
Maybe a little more. I think it takes us about a half hour to get there.
At the most.
I'm pretty sure it's about a half hour, but it's another DuPont.
Yes, a different DuPont, but another DuPont property. It's Winterthur, which looks like it's pronounced Winterthur. Winterthur,
and which is easier to say than Winterthur, but...
But, and I, you know, frankly, as much as I love Longwood, I think I love Winterthur even more.
So Longwood is very sculptured, and it's French sort of your style. French, right? Like, think about the very formal gardens, okay. And then Winterthur is this very English landscape.
The rolling countryside,
Henry
the
DuPont
flowing gardens.
Wanted everything to blend in, to sort and look like it was sort of natural, and it was part of the original landscape.
Like you're walking through a magic forest.
Yeah, and it does. It feels a little wild. It feels free. So you kind of feel that way a little there, too. Like at Longwood, you're a little more like in lockstep, right? Like you're like walking down
Longwood's
the path.
Longwood's a little more, a little more stuffy. I don't know
beautiful,
if it's...
Beautiful, though.
Beautiful, but you feel like you
form.
Need to stay on the
it's
sidewalk
formal.
And walk in between the lines.
Whereas Winterthur, you feel like the kids can run and play.
Yeah, there are no signs saying keep off the grass.
No. And the... So they have their own version of the children's gardens are the Enchanted Woods.
Which is an outdoor
It is.
Area.
And it's the whole thing is set up like it's a fairy garden. And it is...
As if real fairies live there.
Our boys can spend hours
yeah, we
there.
Spent about 3 hours there.
And we have to
weekend.
Say, we have to go.
Yeah, sadly. So we've actually bought a membership to
we
Winterthur
did,
last
really
year because we loved
wise,
it so much.
It made sense to do that. And a lot of times it does, and we'll talk about that at another time. We'll talk about memberships and reciprocal memberships
yeah.
and why you do that. But we are. We're members there, and we'll try to go back as much
we
as we
can. We
want to
go back for Christmas.
Because it's really
yeah,
phenomenal
so if
there.
You camp at the Philadelphia Westchester KOA, which you should, you have two amazing options. I mean, perhaps
and then
one
the
for a Saturday. Well, there's also
there's
wineries.
Local wineries.
The river flows through the whole
there's
area.
There's local preserves.
There's it's a just, whole Brandywine School of Painting, and there's yeah. museums there. It's we always say it would be a great place also for a romantic weekend
absolutely.
For a couple without
if
kids.
If we ever get that, we might
one
go there.
Day. One day, but it's a perfect place for a family
if
trip.
If anybody wants to watch our kids.
But the land, the Brandywine Valley is almost, kind of feels kind of European. It's the pretty, I have not seen all of Pennsylvania,
yes.
but it's the prettiest region of Pennsylvania I have seen. And of course, Pennsylvania is a pretty state.
Just fun to drive through and look at
yeah.
and the beautiful stone houses.
So it's a top destination and perhaps an underrated destination.
Yeah,
but
we
highly
so.
Recommend Gary and Lori Levesque's Philadelphia Westchester KOA. And if you do go and camp there, which you should, you've got to do Longwood and you've got to do Winterthur, but don't ask us which one to pick out of those two.
I don't think we can.
For this week's recommendation, we want to point you towards Moon Travel Guides. Now, when Stephanie and I were dating, we used to use Frommer's, right?
Yeah, and those like $100 a day, $50 a day ones.
Yeah, or, and yeah. I still like Frommer's, frankly, mm-hmm. but I've really fallen in love with the Moon handbooks. And the reason why is, to me, the writing's better. And as an English teacher, they're actually quite a bit more readable. They're not filled with all of those infographics and pictures. It's more like an actual book that you can sit down and read. Now, this past summer, we used one for our trip to Maine, and last spring, we purchased one for the coastal Carolinas, and we used the Myrtle Beach section of it. Great restaurant recommendations, great recommendations for gardens, bookstores, shopping, pretty much everything that was recommended in the book we really liked. And I found them to be immensely readable. Anything to say about the Moon Travel Guides?
No, just, you know. They're taking up space.
They're taking up space. They're taking up space because I kind of went on a little bit of a binge this summer.
We have like a collection.
And bought a whole bunch of them for some bucket list destinations. Okay, for places that I want to go in the future. So after using the Maine travel guide, I went out and bought the one for Mount Rushmore in the Black Hills, the one for Atlantic Canada, which covers Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, Newfoundland, and Labrador. And I also bought one from Montana and Wyoming. And so I could keep busy for the next 10 years with these. So out of these...
Yeah, except they're going to be completely outdated by the time we get to any of those
No,
because
they're so good. So out of these bucket list yes. moon handbooks, which of these destinations do you think we'll get to first, Stephanie? We've got Montana, we've got Wyoming, Atlantic Canada, Mount Rushmore.
I think Mount Rushmore because the boys are talking a remarkable amount about
That's
the presidents.
Right. The boys are so interested in presidents. Wait, What was Max asking about presidents this year?
There was all this about Washington.
Are they all presidents at once? Oh, no, he wanted to know if they were friends.
He wanted to know if the presidents
were friends.
Well,
if we take them to Mount Rushmore and show them all up there on the hills, we could say, look, they all hang out together.
Yeah, he really had a lot to ask about the president, so we might.
So you're saying we're heading to Mount Rushmore, but if you get all the way out to Mount Rushmore, don't you have to go to Yellowstone? I mean,
this is what I'm dealing with, people.
And then once you go to Yellowstone, don't you have to go to Glacier? For goodness sake. So anyway, look, we recommend Moon Travel Guides. If you're one of those people that uses kind of an old-fashioned print guidebook, which we do. And we also recommend you follow them on Facebook. They do a pretty nice job on Facebook as well.
And then also, anytime you're going to any of the places, Yelp it or Google it before you go there, because sometimes the times change. And it's just important, double check on the information, because
make sure
hours
it's accurate.
Change.
Okay, so you balance out old media and new
right,
media.
Exactly.
Print media and the internet.
Use them together.
It's a whole philosophy of travel in there for you people.
So this week we asked our readers what their epic camping fail was, and we got some great responses. Julie said that they had a newish fifth wheel and the toilet pedal didn't always lock after flushing, so you would need to lift the pedal with your foot. Someone, we aren't sure who exactly, didn't realize this and walked out after flushing. Several hours later, when we came in for the night, the entire bathroom, bedroom upstairs, and the steps were soaked. It even leaked down into the basement storage area. That night, my hubs made a quick trip to Walmart, 30 miles away, to get a wet vac. What a mess.
Sounds worse than our Cape Cod flood.
Yeah, we felt lucky after that. And then also, Barbara told us that they had a mouse in their RV and everything was destroyed.
I'm sorry to hear that, Barbara. Now, Stephanie would have put that RV up for sale probably after that. Joe wrote in and said, take your pick between these two. Either squirrels in upstate New York eating their way into our hybrid camper and destroying the place, or this past summer in Cape Cod, where in 24 hours we had a near disastrous breakdown of our tow vehicle, followed by me cutting my finger to the bone on a bottle. But then the real burner was about 30 minutes later when I ran over my brand new iPhone. Not my most shining camp moment. Yeah, epic fails can come in threes.
And then Meg told us that they took the spouse's pop-up camper on their honeymoon in Mercer, PA, and they forgot the key to open it. Luckily, another camper there had a similar camper, and his key opened it up. OMG, that was 17 years ago. I can imagine us doing that.
Yeah, it kind of scares me a little that somebody else's key could just open up your camper,
they're probably not
though,
that
for goodness
sake. But you know what's really great? I think that Meg would probably agree with most of our lessons learned this episode, is that you just solve the problem. And if they learned that on their honeymoon, those 17 years have probably been a little bit easier.
Yeah, definitely. JP wrote in and said, the first day we were in a rented motorhome in New Zealand, which an epic trip, by the way, we forgot that the doors on the drawers and cabinets must be manually locked as opposed to our trailer, which has spring-loaded doors and automatic locks on the drawers. We pulled out of the campground, hit the first bump, and heard such a sound behind us. Every cabinet was open. Several dishes were on the floor. Several broken glasses as well. The worst was the dishwashing soap had crashed and opened and was spilled all over. What a mess. But guess what, JP? You were in New Zealand, man. How cool is that?
Just look out the window. Everything's okay.
Everything was beautiful. We saw your pictures. Thank you so much for writing in. You know, a lot of you are downloading the podcast both on our blog and on iTunes, and we appreciate that so much. But we'd also love to hear from you. Drop us a note on our Facebook page. Give us some recommendations for topics you'd like to hear, or for topics that you've enjoyed.
Or you can comment at livelittlecampers.com. We have a contact us page. Send us an email. Tell us any of your thoughts or any of the topics.
Yeah, it might
you'd
sound like we're
comment.
Lonely, and that's not true. But also another thing too, if you're enjoying our podcast by downloading it on iTunes, please drop us a review. We've heard that it matters quite a lot in terms of iTunes rankings.
So now for the big announcement.
Oh, the big giveaway.
Yeah.
We love giving stuff away.
We do. It's fun. So we told you how much we love Longwood Gardens. Well, Longwood Gardens has given us two
Family packs.
Four packs.
Family four packs.
Okay. So we are giving away two family four packs.
As two separate prizes.
Two separate prizes. Two people are going to win. You can go to our website, livelylittlecampers.com. You can find our giveaway as a blog post, or it's a widget on the sidebar, okay, on our homepage. And you can enter into the contest. You can also win additional entries for sharing the contest, okay? And it is a fantastic place to visit. Four seasons out of the year. So this is a really good prize.
And great for Christmas to go to Longwood.
It has a pretty good prize value too.
Yeah, these are expensive tickets. Mm-hmm. Longwood's not exactly cheap. Now listen, we're going to run the contest for about 2 weeks. We'll announce the winner 2 weeks from now, correct?
I'll give the exact date. I think that we're
going to announce the winner in 2 weeks.
All right.
On the podcast. And it's going to be exciting. So enter and win. You'll love Longwood Gardens. And by the way, out of all of our listeners on the podcast, our number one state right now is the great state of Pennsylvania.
Yeah, thank you, Pennsylvania.
Thank you, Pennsylvania. And the podcast has been downloaded in 43 states. Now, Vermont, Iowa, and a couple other states, you need to step up your game here.
Hey, Vermont.
Yeah, what's going on, Vermont?
We've
been up there so many times. Iowa, I understand. And Alaska, for goodness sake. Okay, we'll get there. But come on, Vermont. Somebody, if you know somebody out in Vermont,
will you
recommend the podcast to them? Okay, so the RV Family Travel Atlas has been heard in 43 states. In Pennsylvania, you're number one. Thank you so much for joining us for episode 6 of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Jeremy.
And I'm Stephanie.
Now join us next week when I discuss 12 reasons why I love Stephanie's camo sweatpants from Walmart.
And I'm going to tell you 3 ways you can keep your kids from picking the flowers when you go to Longwood Gardens.
Only 3 ways? That's kind of weak.
No, 3 is enough, believe me. My methods work.
Oh, your methods do work. I need like 44 ways. Also, join us next week while we discuss 44 reasons why we love Vermont and 52 reasons why we love Iowa and 32 reasons why we love Alaska. Come on, people, download the podcast.
10 ways, Joe, to keep squirrels from chewing holes in your hybrid camper.
Those were some killer squirrels, Joe.
Don't miss next week.
At least the coffee was free.
Bye.